1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's been two straight weeks of sometimes deadly weather emergencies, and it will not end today.
The highest risk for tornadoes today will be in Alabama and Georgia. That is because the line of storms moving across Kentucky and Tennessee overnight start to congeal as they move south. Today's severe weather zone stretches from the south across the southeast from Texas all the way to Washington, D.C.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. Early Israeli reaction to President Biden saying the U.S. was pausing delivery of bombs so they're not used in Gaza. Foreign Minister Israel Katz taking to social media to declare Israel will continue to fight Hamas until it is destroyed. The Biden administration has been under pressure to take executive action dealing with the southern border now that Trump ordered his congressional allies to scuttle the toughest proposed immigration bill in decades. As soon as today, the Department of Homeland Security will propose a change to the process for asylum seekers. This is ABC News. Larry Satterwhite named acting police chief in Houston. That follows Troy Finner's abrupt resignation on Tuesday and a scandal involving hundreds of thousands of violent crimes that were suspended and tagged with an internal code indicating lack of personnel to investigate. Troy Finner had requested 2,000 new officers before leaving.
I would love to have 2,000 more officers today. I think there's so much more we could do for the public if we had them. It's going to take time.
Maryland transportation officials say they expect to have Baltimore's destroyed Francis Scott Key Bridge rebuilt by the fall of 2028 at a preliminary estimated cost of between $1.7 and $1.9 billion. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey set execution for condemned triple murderer Allen Eugene Miller for September 26th. Miller will be the second individual to be put to death in Alabama by nitrogen gas. It will also be the second attempt at executing him. Miller survived a lethal injection attempt in 2022. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh, my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We're going to have policy arguments for the rest of time. But at base, I want my president to be a decent person. I firmly believe that Joe Biden always is trying to do the right thing, that he is a decent man. And in sharp contrast, we've got a man who thinks it's a good thing that stars get to commit sexual assault. And we know that because he said it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese for National Lost Sock Memorial Day and talk to a longstanding Wisconsin sock maker. Paul Noonan with sports, Brittany Merlot with weather and wine. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles, gradually clearing by mid to late afternoon. Our high today, 57, with wind out of the northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight will be clear. Our low, 39. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. A sprinkle or two possible in the afternoon with a high tomorrow near 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
T. Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, actor, and Wisconsin native Eric Price, and the group Onstage for Cancer stops by to perform live in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
If you've ever driven a tractor, you are her friend. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
I don't think the tractors are going to be moving much today, except maybe for utility purposes. The rain that we've picked up and continues to fall this morning, going to probably slow down any spring planting. Come on in, everybody. It's a Thursday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. I'm watching radar this morning. It doesn't look like the showers we're experiencing are going to get much into the Fox Valley. If you imagine a line across the state of Wisconsin, that's right around Highway 21. Everything south of Highway 21 looks like it's going to pick up rain today. Everything north, staying dry. Our temperatures are definitely noticeably cooler than they were yesterday at this time. Our daytime highs today, not much better than where we're at right now. Upper 50s to around 60 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 69. Saturday, sunshine and 69. Sunday, partly cloudy, 79 before more rain rolls back in front part of next week. That's getting concerning. We'll talk weather with our man Stumuck, ag meteorologist, on the way. Having some fun with you this morning, too. I'm chatting with Lydia Whitman. She is the program manager for the National Bison Association about some of the field research they're doing on those big animals. And speaking of big, it looks like the morel mushroom crop of 2024. Pretty big. Charity Seebecker is going to update us on that.
Optimize your farming with Madison Area Drone Service, your comprehensive drone hub for sales, repairs, and equipment. Their cutting-edge agriculture spray drones ensure precise field applications, significantly reducing waste and enhancing distribution accuracy. With advanced GPS technology, avoid obstacles like tree lines, neighboring fields, and livestock. Getting started is simple with Madison Area Drone Service. Discover more at widroneservice.com. Madison Area Drone Service, streamlining agriculture.
The 2023 Farm Bill deadline has been pushed into 2024, but the timeline for when it will pass through Congress is still a question. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Mike Strands joins us. He's the vice president of advocacy for National Farmers Union, working on the Hill, but his roots are in northeast Wisconsin, where he grew up. He gives us an update on how Farmers Union is using this extra time to press policymakers on strategies to build fair and more competitive farm markets. First, he clues us in on what a schedule might look like for getting the farm bill done.
The schedule, as it looks like right now, is that the House Agriculture Committee is going to mark up a draft of the bill by Memorial Day. So within the next few weeks, we're told we're going to see a draft of the bill, and that will get some consideration by members, all 50-some members of the House Agriculture Committee, before the Memorial Day holiday.
Now, in the past, when a draft has been written up and presented, how long has it taken for that to move through?
Yeah, in the last couple of farm bill cycles, it's varied widely. In 2018, the bill got marked up in the House Agriculture Committee, and about a month, 2 months later, it was voted on the floor of the House. Now, granted, that one failed, and they had to go through a few other steps in the process. But by the end of the year, in 2018, the bill was signed into law. It might take longer. It might take less time this year, but at least this is a big first step towards getting it across the finish line.
With news that a draft is on the way, do you feel like National Farmers Union has done its due diligence in pressing lawmakers to get your own priorities in there? And do you think you'll be successful?
Absolutely. Yeah, just last week or 2 weeks ago, we had 20 members from around the country take part in our advocacy training program designed to help people who are spending their first trip to Washington, get them up to speed on the issues we're working on, but also how to advocate and meet and discuss the issues with members of Congress and their staff. And that was a good opportunity to make sure that those stories and priorities were shared with the staffers, and it really helped boost our prospects here as we get ready for the markup.
A lot of the National Farmers Union priorities have to do with keeping farming competitive, and I want you to give me some more background on that. What do you mean by keeping these businesses on a competitive landscape?
Sure, there's a couple ways towards that. Now, one you'll probably hear more about from a lot of other organizations too is on the Farm Safety Net, making sure that programs to help farmers when prices are bad or the weather doesn't cooperate, are there to kick in and keep farmers farming through those tough times. The other aspect, though, is on fairness for farmers and making sure competition issues are directly taken up in the farm bill, whether that's on ensuring transparency and openness in the cattle markets, whether that's giving farmers the right to repair their own farm equipment, or making sure that the monopolies don't entirely control sectors of the agriculture economy, like on inputs or seed or fertilizer. So we want to make sure that there's a competition built into this farm bill. Family farmers and ranchers have been pushed up against the market power wielded by monopolies for a long time. That's why the organization got started, and that's why it's spread so much over the years, is because people want to have a greater say in the marketplace. I think we'll see more interest in this, especially as mergers continue, as acquisitions of domestically owned fertilizer inputs are taken up by other countries. So we see a growing push for this, and since the pandemic, that's especially increased.
Give me an example of some recent news where you think that the fairness for farmers and making sure that the landscape stays competitive for farm families. Give me an example of a recent event that's happened where that makes this viable.
A couple weeks ago in mid-April, Iowa Farmers Union hosted an event with the chair of the Federal Trade Commission, Lena Kahn, along with a few state legislators. And at that event, Chair Kahn was looking into the issues behind the proposed acquisition of Iowa Fertilizer Company by Koch Industries. Koch already controls a big chunk of the fertilizer market in the U.S., and to further buy up Iowa Fertilizer, which was backed by a lot of public dollars, would further consolidate the industry. So we hear from federal policymakers like Chair Kahn, who are willing and able and ready to dive in and, you know, make sure that these acquisitions aren't coming at the expense of family farmers and ranchers. So that sort of activity across the agricultural sector will help make a difference.
Some may argue that consolidation helps these businesses stay profitable, but you say that there is a line that is crossed in some of these cases.
Well, without competition, capitalism doesn't work very well. And that's a mantra we've heard from President Biden. We've heard from congressional leaders, particularly since the pandemic, when we saw a lot of empty store shelves and some of the food security issues that we'd long talked about actually started to crop up. So we want to make sure that independent family farmers and ranchers have a fair shake, especially in the face of big corporate interests pushing and squeezing down on them.
And this includes the Right to Repair Act. This is something else that National Farmers Union is working on in this same realm. Give us a status report, because this has been a long time conversation as well.
For a number of years, particularly in the tech world, there's been talk about having the right to repair your own technology, whether it's the iPhone that I've got or vehicles. That's been an issue too over the years. But what's really taken a lot of interest in the last number of years is on agricultural machinery. Colorado last year was the first state in the nation to pass a agricultural right to repair law. So that is obviously catching steam in Colorado. A few other states like Michigan, Nebraska, Montana, and others are taking up this legislation and have considered it. There's a call to make sure that the two or three big tractor manufacturers who control 95% of the marketplace give farmers the opportunity to make those repairs. And that way it doesn't come at the cost of time and money that waiting for those big companies to allow repairs to occur, that doesn't become an issue for us.
Growing up, doing our own repairs was all we knew. We had antique tractors. So for a non-farm consumer listening to this, and they think, well, why can't a farmer repair their own equipment? Can you explain, you know, why that was an issue to begin with?
Sure. There's been the addition of, like, technologies that require a chip or a code to be entered into the system in order to make some pretty basic repairs that without, you know, just having access to an 8-digit number, some of these cases we've heard from independent farmers about this, has really slowed people down. And by having that very tight proprietary control over what farmers can and can't do to the equipment that they own has slowed them down a whole bunch. So that's why we want to see the right to repair.
You and I have just talked about a lot of the priorities you hope gets passed through the Farm Bill. Give me the sense of the environment, the appetite or the attitude of the lawmakers that are going to have to vote on this thing.
So over the last couple of months, through the spring of 2024, we've seen the House take some interesting votes on a variety of issues that required bipartisan support. They didn't fly through on a Republican vote only. With Republican control of the House, oftentimes you'd imagine that things are flying through on party line basis. That's not been the case with how the party's been fractured there. So whenever big legislation's been getting done this year or year and a half, it's come because of bipartisanship. And if a farm bill is going to get done, which a farm bill is generally a very bipartisan issue, that same strategy ought to be pursued again. So there's been a few fault lines emerging. Some red lines have been drawn, whether it's on nutrition funding or on conservation. But I think that there's a way for leaders to move to the middle and get a farm bill done yet this year.
Mike Strands, along with us, Vice President of Advocacy for National Farmers Union, walking us through the message that the organization continues to deliver on Capitol Hill. He's optimistic that Congress can get a farm bill done this year. He does anticipate a markup draft of the bill coming from the House before Memorial Day. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Deep Here and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
Did you see the dumbest thing I did? Catherine, who we just love here, she runs the whole company pretty much. She brought like Blues Brothers glasses. So she wanted us all to walk in together wearing the black glasses. So we're sitting in the thing and I'm reading the program. Reach my glasses, so I always carry it, put them on. It's like, holy crap, they dropped the lights. Now I can't read anything. So I take them off. I'd put my sunglasses on. How dumb is that?
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we celebrate nurses, the people that take care of us. It's National Nurses Week. Tune in. We'll join you then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
When I'm at speaking engagements, and that's what's going on with the high path avian influenza in dairy cattle. Now, there's not been any new outbreaks or anything like that. But instead, they're still trying to get a little bit of a handle on where this virus is ending up in the animal and in turn, potentially the food that's out there. U.S. Department of Agriculture tested 30 samples from 9 states with the outbreak of high path avian influenza in the dairy cattle. Grant Duwell from Iowa State University, was the veterinarian that was taking a look at those screenings. He said the good news is all of them came back negative.
It implies that the beef is safe as far as we know. We're not able to find any fragments. Plus, since we do cook our beef, then that would degrade that as well. And so beef should be completely safe. I would worry more about other potential food safety pathogens.
All right. So the bottom line is, so long as you're cooking your beef and, of course, consuming pasteurized dairy products,
you're in good shape. That is Greg Duwell from Iowa State. He also reminds folks, and you probably already noticed it, we still have plenty of birds that are flying over Wisconsin. That migration kind of continuing now with this wet weather that is out there. Even more room for possibilities that we could see some cross-contamination. Duwell says he's still giving biosecurity rules and guidelines to producers that could be impacted.
You know, we're buying new beef cows, isolating those from our main herd until we make sure that everything's healthy, potential for testing some of those, and then general sanitation in on your farm as far as making sure our feed's covered as best as possible so we don't have a bird contaminate those.
That's easier said than done. You know how birds are. But again, a good point. Dr. Greg Duwell from Iowa State University talking about the latest information we've got on testing for high path avian influenza this time around in beef. Yeah, this weather is going to keep birds on the ground for a large extent of today. Let's talk about it. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us on a Thursday morning. Like I mentioned to you, just started coming down here in the Madison area, but it's actually a little heavier rain than I expected. What's going on out there?
Well, it's still not much. I mean, it is in far southern Wisconsin, and that's where we see the rain this morning, pushed out of northern and northeast parts of Iowa, right across southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois. For those of us further north, we haven't seen it. In fact, I see that sun trying to look awful pink off in the east, so we don't have that great deal of cloud cover here either. That's the Fond du Lac area. Further north, there's going to be a little more sunshine, at least for a time, but that low pressure system out of the west will travel east, will most likely mean some rain. I'll mention all of us with at least the chance of a little scattered shower here today, a tenth of an inch or two. That's going to be about the extent, with more of it likely in southern Wisconsin and a lot less further north. Believe it or not, there's some talk in that western and then north central part of the state that frost could become an issue, as skies will be clearing out somewhat more overnight and those temps will be dropping and dropping into the upper or even mid-30s. It's a small chance something could happen further north, not so in the south. We are indeed still talking about early May weather. None of that's out of the question. Another small system drops a cool front into the neighborhood, and that chance of a little rain pops up even late Friday or into Friday night. Another tenth of an inch or so is about the worst. That clears out. Temperatures stay a little more mild in the weekend. One more small disturbance late Saturday and another late Sunday could account for some late rain, or at least the chance of a little rain. I don't expect any of it to be a washout. Certainly no real severe weather trying to build into Wisconsin. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Wisconsin weather can be a farmer's best friend or its worst enemy. Helena Agri knows all about that. Dean Ebert is one of the Helena Agri representatives in West Bend. He's been out looking at fields in between rain showers and says trying to keep those nutrients in place is priority number one this year.
As far as moisture goes, we get that nitrogen out there. We put stabilizers with it. We get rains like today, especially on a no-till acre. We want to stabilize that so it doesn't volatilize off the surface, but we have a product called Research that also prevents leaching, and it stops leaching on not only the nitrogen but the sulfur components as well, which the crop needs.
Dean Ebert with Helena Agri. He's out of their West Bend location. He said that if you're still looking for solutions and a game plan for the rest of spring planting into the growing season, he's available to help. You can find your local Helena representative and learn more about the company that stretches back to 1957. Jump online, HelenaAgri.com. That's Helena, AGRI.com. All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, well, in the south, more clouds, not quite so many further north and east yet this morning, but clouds increase, and we'll all have at least that small chance of a little shower that could edge on in. You know, a tenth of an inch or two should be about it. I expect upper 50s and very low 60s for highs today, with the northeast winds about 5 to 10. There may still be a small shower chance in southern Wisconsin this evening, and skies do clear out later on. That's where we talk about that frost possibility way up in the north central part of the state. Nighttime lows in the south in the 40s, further north in the 30s, of course, with the northeast breeze. A sunny start to Friday, but clouds develop, maybe a little rain chance again late in the day. Upper 60s, a nice turnaround. Winds become west then, and Saturday, sunny skies, mid and upper 60s. Maybe a shower chance, a small one late in the day. Northwest winds 5 to 15. None of the rain in the weekend should be all that heavy, Pam, but that little chance Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, too.
Mother's Day, just in time, huh?
well, in the late afternoon. Everyone would be tired and taking their Mother's Day nap by that.
Well, you know, and honestly, I was thinking about that. For anybody that's going to get dry weather, especially looking at the outlook for precipitation next week, Mom is probably, I hate to say it, she might be put on the back burner so we can keep plowing and going, don't you think?
Well, that's unfortunately how it always works with that holiday.
It is true. It is true. Sorry, folks, if you're new to the farm show, this is the reality check that we're giving you. All right, buddy, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, see ya.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your weather update. And again, rainfall reporters, you are always welcome to chime in whenever you'd like. That number, 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276, our talk text line.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Mino and the Mayor.
You can see him every single Sunday. Win a Super Bowl, drive off in a Hyundai. Her baby crib is bigger than his. She was supposed to buy Tyco with her money. She bought LiPo with her money. Oh, I just got it tuned. Someone just tuned in. Said, hey, I just tuned in. Was that actually Kanye or Mino singing that?
Oh, jeez.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's been two straight weeks of sometimes deadly weather emergencies, and it will not end today.
The highest risk for tornadoes today will be in Alabama and Georgia. That is because the line of storms moving across Kentucky and Tennessee overnight start to congeal as they move south. Today's severe weather zone stretches from the south across the southeast from Texas all the way to Washington, D.C.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. Early Israeli reaction to President Biden saying the U.S. was pausing delivery of bombs so they're not used in Gaza. Foreign Minister Israel Katz taking to social media to declare Israel will continue to fight Hamas until it is destroyed. The Biden administration has been under pressure to take executive action dealing with the southern border now that Trump ordered his congressional allies to scuttle the toughest proposed immigration bill in decades. As soon as today, the Department of Homeland Security will propose a change to the process for asylum seekers. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin Wednesday touting Microsoft's new investment and his own economic record in Racine. President reminding voters Donald Trump and Foxconn promised 13,000 new jobs in the area but never delivered.
3,500 total jobs left Wisconsin during my predecessor's term. But that's not on my watch.
Biden says he's created more jobs than Trump and nearly $1 trillion in private sector investment across the country. Vice President Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin next week. It will be her fourth visit to Wisconsin this year. Harris plans to be in Milwaukee a week from tomorrow to call attention to the administration's efforts to boost the economy with steps like student loan debt forgiveness and support for education. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
A Bucks player under investigation. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bucks guard Pat Beverly being investigated by the Indianapolis Police Department for throwing a basketball into the crowd at a fan heckling him. It actually missed, hitting another woman in the head. When the ball was tossed back to Beverly, a video shows he threw it again at her. Beverly already apologizing for being rude to an ESPN reporter after the Bucks' season-ending loss to the Pacers that night. Baseball. The Brewers host the Cardinals tonight in Milwaukee. Christian Yelich back at the DH spot after being out since April 13th with a lower back issue.
It's nice to be back out there and be able to help contribute instead of just having to sit on the sidelines and watch. You know, it just still sucks sitting there just watching, especially you know, when you feel like you can have an impact in certain spots. Just having to sit there is no fun, so it's nice to be back out there.
Yelich 0-for-5 in Kansas City. The Crew losing to the Royals 6-4. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Civic Media.
Mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles, gradually clearing by mid to late afternoon. Our high today 57 with wind out of the northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight will be clear. Our low 39 tomorrow. Sunshine in the morning. A sprinkle or two possible in the afternoon with a high tomorrow near 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 2021, Native American nations negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create majority-minority state house districts under the Voting Rights Act, and together they defended it in federal court. Now the state is welching on the deal and joining the GOP plaintiffs in asking the U.S. Supreme Court to reverse the decision. Two local GOP officials contested House District 4A in 2022, claiming it was unfair under the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Native American nations, known as the MHA Nation, joined with the state of North Dakota, arguing the VRA Section 2 gives them the right to elect the candidate of their choice. Together, they won when a three-judge federal panel agreed. The GOP officials appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. But in a shameful historical pattern, the state of North Dakota abandoned its agreement with the MHA Nation and May 6th instead asked the justices to vacate the decision, potentially eliminating District 4A and three other majority-minority Native districts. As we've reported, voter suppression forces have been throwing cases at the high court's wall in hopes that conservative justices will rescind remaining voting protections for minority Americans. Expect oral arguments this fall. We have details of the case and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Deep Here and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
I went for a walk yesterday. And I walked past the car, Jim's car, and I saw the light blink in the red light.
Oh.
So I come in here. I said, Jim, your meter's expired. He goes, no, it's not. I put in a bunch of money. I said, Jim, I think it's pretty sure it's your car. So he goes there and goes, I put it in the wrong meter.
So the guy next to me got free parking.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
If you need to know about farming, then you need to know Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, what you need to know is you're probably going to need an umbrella at least this morning if you're going to be walking any distance outside. Yeah, the rain is here, and it's going to stick around through the morning hours. Daytime highs today, definitely cooler than yesterday. 60 are expected high at best. Tomorrow, partly cloudy but dry, 69. Saturday, sunshine, 69. Sunday, partly cloudy but dry, 79. And then we turn an ugly corner for a lot of Wisconsin farmers. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they are telling me that we've got rain in the forecast at least a little bit each of those days. Do not shoot the messenger. Boy, but you guys have been doing wonderfully well with all your rainfall reports. I really appreciate the volume of updates you've been bringing to me. Keep them coming. Anything that you notice. In fact, one of your tips gave us a story idea. So feel free to share 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. So today is the ninth day of May. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1950, the very first sporting event held at the Milwaukee Arena, brand new Milwaukee Arena that actually opened in April. But the first sporting event was on this day back in 1950 when boxer Rocky Graziano scored a fourth-round technical knockout over a contender in a middleweight fight that drew almost 13,000 fans to the brand-new Milwaukee Arena on this day in 1950. On this day, the drug Enovid was approved for use. What is Enovid? Well, that was the first birth control pill approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on this day back in 1960. Happy birthday to the piano man, Billy Joel. He is 75 years young, and now you know. Like I mentioned, we do pay very close attention to your thoughts, your ideas, your updates on our talk text line. In fact, one of you noted that the rain brought out the morel mushrooms. That tip led us to the small community of Muscadet. That's just a little bit west of the Madison area, north and west of Madison, where the community is getting ready for its annual Muscadet Morel Mushroom Festival. Charity Seebecker takes it from there.
Tom Nondorf is a retired veteran that has been buying and selling morel mushrooms for over 14 years as part of a fundraiser for his local American Legion Post 85 at the Muscadet Morel Festival. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Tom says that this year is looking to be an exceptional season and one of the best we've seen in the past few years when it comes to morel mushrooms with the timely rainfall and the late snowfall that we've had.
With the rainfall and the weather right now, it's really helped keep the mushroom crop going. But I tie the snowfall, the late snowfalls in the spring is more of a helpful than the current rains, because there's something in that over the years I've been buying. The more snow we get in the late spring, the better off the mushroom crop is that year. And we had a couple of timely snowfalls late in the spring, and that's really what helps the mushroom crop.
What are you hearing from farmers? Are there any things that are sticking out to you?
I've got a couple guys that's probably found 200 pounds already, you know, between the two of them. So that's a lot of mushrooms for two people. it's been a good year, and I'm, you know, you're seeing all over Facebook where people are finding lots of mushrooms.
So speaking of that, are there certain spots within Wisconsin that are known to have higher yields of mushrooms? I've heard by you in Muscadet, you're the morel capital, right?
The Muscadet area itself is kind of drying up from what I can see. But I know the one guy is from around Fenimore area, and he's been really doing good over there. And I got another guy over on across the river over towards Richland Center, and he's been really doing good. But the locals here in Muscadet, I haven't seen a lot of it.
Interesting. So then comparing to maybe previous years, obviously you've been purchasing mushrooms for quite a while. How is this year's season looking so far?
I would say it's going to be probably one of the better seasons in the last few years because, let's see, 23, the numbers were down. I think we did buy around 500 pounds at the end there. 2022, we bought, I think, maybe 250 pounds. 21 was a slow year, and 20 with the COVID year was a really bad year because that was a cold spring. That was really down. But I'm looking this year should be a fairly decent year. If I was to say, if I could have probably bought 300-400 pounds by now if I was buying regularly.
So what factors besides rainfall or even that snowfall that you mentioned then influence the growth and availability of these mushrooms?
Well, it's kind of an overnight thing from my understanding over the years. You can pick them one day and go back the next, and there's still some more there again. And then once they pop, they will grow a little bit, but not much more after they've come out of the ground. But it's kind of an overnight thing. You see them, you pick them, because if you don't pick them, somebody else will. You know, that's about how it goes.
So when it comes to picking them, then, what tips do you have for maybe novice foragers on where, how to even start searching for mushrooms within Wisconsin? I'm sure there's some common mistakes that people make when even just trying to identify the mushrooms and picking what's the best ones.
Actually, you know, you have the brown or your darker grays, and then you have the tans. And a lot of it, if you know where to go, like, for instance, the old elm trees, which are really dying out. We don't have the elm trees we once did, but elm trees, apple orchards is a big one. And it all depends on the leaf cover. You got to kind of, if you see one, dig around through the leaves and the grass and do a lot of searching, basically. You know, some of them, you'll see them like crazy because they're 3-4 inches, but then there's some that's hiding under the brush.
You mentioned some of the different trees to look for, but how do other environmental factors, whether that's just the soil pH, the temperature, just other tree species influence just how they grow?
They'll grow around aspen. You know, people are finding them in the yard around pine trees. It's, like you say, the pH, I believe, in the soil and where the local elm trees have blowed in that spore. Because I've heard people right here in town find them in their yard and there ain't an elm tree around. So it's just what's in the soil content that makes them pop.
Are there certain ones that people should avoid picking? How can they tell the difference then, even in that case?
There's a false morel out there that does look like a morel, but then it's more of an umbrella-type mushroom, but the top of the mushroom is still shaped like the morel. And then there's another one out there that's kind of reddish-looking. It's a false mushroom that you wouldn't want to eat.
That was Tom Nondorf, mushroom sale lead for the American Legion Post 85 in Muscadet. Every spring, the countryside surrounding Muscadet and all parts of Wisconsin yields tons of morel mushrooms, but he says that morel collectors should make sure to ask permission from farmers if they want to hunt on that private land. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
It's Mother's Day this weekend. What's that you say? You completely forgot? Well, guess what? Bavaria Sausage has you covered. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage, where you can shop online at BavariaSausage.com or in their retail location at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Remember, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday with extended hours, 9 until 6. Take a look at their specially curated Mother's Day gift box. Again, you can ship it or you can deliver it. It features all kinds of curated German sweets and treats that mom will appreciate. You say, well, mom's not much for sweets. Well, how about some of their fantastic bratwursts? Or take a look at some of the newly curated flavors in Lanjagers. It's all available. And I see they've got the first brat fry of the 2024 season scheduled for May 24th. Keep checking back often because things change on their website, BavariaSausage.com. One more reason to celebrate Mother's Day, Bavaria Sausage. Barrel cheese on Wednesday gained 2 cents to 190. 40-pound block cheese, that went 11 and a half higher at 195 and a quarter. AA butter stood still. This morning in overnight electronic trade, our June Class 3 milk, that's milk that goes to cheese, up 14 cents right now at 2030 to 100 weight. July's up 8 at 2009 100 weight. The December corn's 2 1/4 cents higher at 483 and a half. November beans right now up 2 at 1215. July new crop wheat, that's 9 cents stronger. Currently at 643 a bushel. 21 of our Wisconsin county fairs are getting a little financial assistance from Compure Financial and their Fund for Rural America. They awarded more than $241,000 to county fairs in their service area. They'll use that money for structural improvements, wiring improvements, and buying some of the livestock panels or gates that they need to keep everybody safe. You can see all the details on the awards at our website, MidwestFarmReport.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you hear a siren, it could be a response for help after a fall. Oshkosh Fire Chief Mike Stanley says it's the number one reason for calls to his department.
Much more significantly than we respond to fires, to heart attacks, car accidents, you know, traumatic injuries. You know, we're going on fall calls, you know, more often than not.
Stanley hopes a new partnership with the company behind a free balance training app, Nimble, NYMBL, can help seniors avoid falls by improving balance with exercises from the app.
I can do this from my home. I can do this from my living room, you know, so that I don't have to worry about securing a ride to go somewhere.
Look for more information going out with water bills across Oshkosh this month. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, State Assembly Rep. Robin Vining is our guest on our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Well, very much on the farm show, bison. You know, springtime is a busy time for all farmers. It's not just about planting. Prior to this, a lot of babies were born. Now is the time when a lot of our Wisconsin bison producers may be witnessing their new babies on the ground. I had a chance to visit with Lydia Whitman. Lydia Whitman is the program manager for the National Bison Association, and she was in Wisconsin to talk with growers about the programs, the research they're doing on these beautiful beasts. And she says the bottom line is, in her opinion, bison bring people and communities together.
North American bison just have the heart of not only the Midwest or the Western states, but it's a story that resonates internationally. And the real story of how restoration has happened to an animal that was nearly extinct. And it's not because of just one person, but it's the collaboration of different communities and people and walks of life. There's nothing else that really drives and pulls at your heart more than that, is just the impact of people joining together for a common cause. And this animal takes your breath away. When you see them coming up on you, you feel the ground shake. They command attention in a way no other animal does.
The other thing that the animal's doing is bringing generations together. I mean, you made a point that all walks of life are engaged in this story.
Absolutely. Just see everything. We've got, you know, fifth generation ranchers. We've got families that have been caretakers for bison for hundreds of years. And then we've got kids that are coming here with their parents for the first time, witnessing these animals for the first time. So all stages, and there's space within the industry too, that we can take folks that are new. We can take folks that are generations in, and there's space for all of them to participate, to care for the animal, to raise them, to enjoy them in different ways. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of space, and that's beautiful.
Aside from the, I guess, historical perspective of the animal itself, you also brought to the attention of bison members the moving forward and engaging with that consumer, engaging with those chefs, much like any protein that we're featuring. Explain a little bit about how that's been a focal point, 23 going into 24.
Oh, absolutely. So bison meat is incredibly healthy. It is lower in fat, higher in vitamins than skinless, boneless chicken. And when we're looking at what's the best thing to have on your plate, we suggest it is bison. It is not only healthy for you, it's also sustainable. Bison are just a wonderful tool for restoring things. So they're restorative to our health. They also restore the prairies that they walk on, too, because they're a keystone species, and we see everything grow when they're present, mm-hmm. and that's pretty cool. So we're saying eat bison to restore bison. It's one of our catchphrases, and when we're saying that, we mean when you are buying bison, you're not only having a great, tasty piece of meat on your plate, you are also supporting the ranchers and the farmers that are raising these animals. And by you supporting those folks, they're going to raise more bison, and we're then going to grow the herd size as well. So there's a multifaceted thing going on here.
Now, when you're presenting that information to people like those chefs that you were talking about, how are they doing on taking it all in and being creative? It looked pretty fantastic from that combination that you shared with us.
Oh my gosh. We have been paired with some of the best chefs, like Michelin star chefs in the country. And what's really fun, like last week we were at Denver for our winter conference, and we were working with some chefs that hadn't used bison before. And Great Range Bison dropped off some bison tenderloins in advance, and they took the time to work with the chefs, and they played around with different preparations. And the result was amazing. We had some Bender's Grill and Bar outdid themselves with these street tacos, also with some bison sliders, and oh, they had a third prep. Oh, bison meatballs, too,
nice.
Like with mozzarella and everything. Just so many creative preparations. It's delicious, and you can use it so many different ways,
right.
It's just phenomenal.
How is the bison industry doing on, I'll say, ramping up that infrastructure that's needed to get the animal from the field to the plate? There has been struggles in trying to get that whole infrastructure healthy and vibrant.
You know, you bring up a very good point. It's been a good growing year. 22 to 23, we saw several of our main meat processors get access to funding for plant expansion. Mm. North American Bison, for example, did a multi-million dollar expansion. They are a bison-only plant up in North Dakota. Mm. They are completely online, and they are full at capacity. We've also got other folks that are getting into it. Indiana and Illinois both have bison processors that are scaling up and adding that to their portfolio. So we've got some established processors to the west. We're seeing growth to the east. We're also seeing better accommodations through the USDA Inspection Service so that some of our smaller processors can receive the inspection they need to be able to not only just process the animal, but get it inspected so it can go out to consumers versus just be privately consumed. Mm-hmm. So to have consistent opportunities throughout the United States versus just in one corner of the U.S. is really critical for expanding where we can grow bison, how we can market it, and how we can get it consistently to the consumer.
Really fascinating story. That's Lydia Whitman. She's a program manager with the National Bison Association. They're going to be gathering together researchers from both the United States and Canada toward the end of June in Brookings, South Dakota, to collaborate on next steps on things like research and infrastructure. You can find out more about that meeting and the National Bison Association as a whole by going to bisoncentral.com. And our Wisconsin Bison Producers Association has a newly revamped website that will allow you to find Wisconsin bison producers. You can buy product online. You can locate where their animals are. All of that at wisconsinbison.com. So check out those websites to follow up on that big, majestic, beautiful beast. All right. Don't forget, rainfall reporters, I'm going to lean on you heavy now for all the updates between now and tomorrow morning. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, lean left, straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
First year success for a rural Indiana community daycare operation. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A rural Indiana child care facility, Apple Tree Rensselaer, just celebrated 1 year of operation. Corn and soybean farmer Adam Olson is president of Appleseed Childhood Education.
It exists because of the investment of our community and a whole bunch of partners, which include local governments, local employers, and local philanthropy.
Olson says some 70 children up through age 5 take part daily.
I view it as what a rural community can do when they put their own future in their own hands. Rensselaer, Indiana has decided to make their place, our place, a better place for the future.
But, adds Olson, finding child care service is a huge issue, even in Rensselaer, where 100 families are on the waiting list for Apple Tree. Still, he hopes their success can inspire other communities.
I really love living here, and I want my kids to live here and all of the things that we hope for. And I do hope that other communities throughout the Midwest can look at a problem that looks pretty daunting and say, hey, this can be done. This can be solved.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Crude and Dom. President Biden says he'll stop weapon shipments to Israel if they invade Rafah. And Trump's back in court with Stormy Daniels. Devil's Advocates, we've got all the coverage you need.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around, to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Depeer and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. It's easy.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.